talking about what we believe, right? We're going through the Apostles' Creed. We're still focusing on Jesus Christ and how he is the victor. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever, the old hymn says. And we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. There's so many verses that talk about the hope we should have as Christians, all based on Jesus Christ. You know, in this world, it's always going on. You watch the news, it's easy to be discouraged. Has anyone felt discouraged watching the news? I'm the only one. All right. You know, I find myself like, what has this world come to? I found myself, I was talking about it in Sunday school, have become this crotchety old man, like, get off my lawn, you know, kids nowadays. And I don't like what I'm becoming as I'm seeing all these things change. And I need encouragement and not fear. And Christ has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, right? And we look at this, all that we have in Jesus Christ. So this morning, I hope that it's an encouragement to those who are here, those who are online, who watch this after the fact, that, folks, Christ is the victor. We talk about the idea, you know, we talk about the focus on Jesus Christ, and we've kind of looked at this every week, but who Jesus is the most important question you will answer. Who is Jesus? Right? Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And this is still the cry that's going out today. Right? Some will say he's a good teacher. Some will say that he's a prophet. Some will say he didn't even exist. I was watching these YouTube videos of Christians who are doing evangelism on college campuses and talking to young people. And an amazing amount of them will come up, well, I don't even believe Jesus existed. And to hear these apologetics folks say, wait, no, it is a historic fact that there was a Jesus, but who do you believe that he is? And so, who do you believe that I am? And salvation is only in the last answer. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. We looked at the last few weeks. We talk about that Jesus is God. We talk about how Jesus is man. We talk about he died on the cross, for there is no other name, no other name by which we get saved. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So it is imperative and important for us to answer that question, who do I believe Jesus is? And settle that for yourself, that he is God. He is man. And he died on the cross for my sin that I deserve. Talk about the idea of the Apostles' Creed. We just kind of sang through that. Right? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and everlasting life. And all God's people said, Amen. The core of Christianity is here. And in here, whether you're a Baptist or a Pentecostal, right? Whether you're a Catholic, these are the core beliefs that make you a Christian. Even on this alone, we look at groups like the Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses. They are not Christian because they do not hold to these doctrines that we hold to. So this morning we're going to focus on that Christ, that he descended into the dead. Actually, some will read, he descended into hell. And on the third day, he rose again. How fitting. You know, if I was really clever and smart, I would have timed this out for Easter. Right? So I'm a few weeks ahead of myself. But we could talk about this so many times. There are so many sermons that could be written on these facts alone. That Jesus not only came and died for us, but the grave could not hold him any longer, and he rose from the dead. He was victorious over death, over sin, over the devil, over this world. In here, he reigns and sits on the throne. We're going to break this down just a little bit. The first one talks about he descended. Notice what it says here. This is taken out of the book of Ephesians. And so I got some biblical nerdiness to get into this morning. It was funny, we were just down in Florida talking to my mom. And my mom is kind of a straight shooter. And so while we're down there, because I said, Mom, let me take you to church. She goes, no. She goes, I watch you online. So my mom watches this. So I got to be really nice and be careful what I say. I love, right? But I said, you know, I was going through and preaching. And she said, well, you're probably more of a teacher than a preacher. And I'm like, thank you. Right? Because you get kind of nerdy sometimes. I'll take that as a compliment. But I like these details of Scripture to help me understand. And hopefully you appreciate that as well. But the Scripture talks about in Ephesians, it says, but each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But he first also what? Descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. We talk about the victory of Jesus, that on the cross, he paid the debt. But he was buried, and in here, the Bible says he filled all things. That, look, there is no place that we can go that God is not there. Well, someone say, well, is he in hell? The psalmist says that if I descend to hell, guess what? He is there. To heaven, he is there. Anywhere on earth you go, Christ is there. He fills all. All things are in his preview. All things are in his authority. All things are in his power. Right? There isn't that, oh, here's an area that God has power, but then here's an area that Satan reigns. Right? Some people have this idea that you have God and you have Satan and they're equal. And they each have their domain. That's not true. Satan is a created being. He is limited. Now, he's no more powerful than you and I, but he can only be at one place at one time. He can only do, right, what God allows him to do. Read the book of Job. Satan is very limited in what he is allowed to do. Now, this period of time, God has given him a great latitude. So much so that he's called the prince and power of the air. He's the God of this world. The Bible tells us he has clouded the minds of those that follow him. We talk about watching the news, right? Watch what's going on. And you wonder sometimes, how crazy is some of this? Have you ever thought about that? It's like, how can someone think it's okay to do these things to our children? How do some of these people believe that it's right to have the government get between parents and their children? How can all this, none of this makes sense? But the Bible's clear. That Satan has deceived them. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but what? Against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. There are demonic things taking place in this world. Well, Pastor, you sound kind of crazy. I think I sound biblical. And I believe it explains a lot what's going on. Because in here, Christ is victorious and he fills all things. And he saves us and he changes us and transforms our minds. So in here, we talk about that Christ, right? Before he ascended, we all agree that Jesus ascended up into heaven, right? But before that, he descended, the Bible says. Now I'm going to link this over to the book of 1 Peter. And Peter talks about this as well. It says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Notice what it says here. Christ went and preached to the spirits in prison. who formerly were disobedient. When once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. Peter tells us that Jesus, when he descended into Hades, or Sheol, into the place of the dead. He went there and he preached. Now, we think of preaching as a positive thing. But in this case, he went and preached, but what? To those who were disobedient. Those who had rejected the call. And this time, he's talking about of those of Noah's day. Remember, Noah preached for about 120 years. He preached judgment, and they rejected that judgment. The Bible says that in the book of Revelation, they will stand before their Creator at the great white throne and give an account. But until then, they are held. Now imagine this, that over the course of a couple thousand years, from the time of Adam and Eve, the promise of a Messiah, that someone was going to come and a sacrifice would be made. That throughout the history of Israel, each lamb was sacrificed. But we're told that that couldn't take away anyone's sin, right? The blood of sheep and goats could not save anyone. But they all pointed to the one that would. And we talked about this last week, that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for all our sins, the long-awaited one. And when Jesus died and was buried, he went and preached to those who were disobedient. And in that sermon, if you will, declared to them the righteousness of God. The Bible says it's appointed a man, what, once to die, and after this, the judgment. He didn't preach to them a second chance, but he preached and declared the truth that there is salvation no other than God. So the Bible says that he went and he descended. He preached. And then he led captivity captive. And I just closed my PowerPoint. And he led captivity captive. And then he ascended. Notice what he says here back in Ephesians, right? But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Right? So Christ descended. And when he descended, he went to a place that was called Hades or Sheol in the Old Testament. It was a holding place for the dead. We see this played out in the book of Luke, you know, the rich man and Lazarus. How about two of them died? Verse 22 starts off, it says, so it was that the beggar died and was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And it seems to be that this place of the dead had two compartments. It had one of those of torment, and then there was one called paradise, or Abraham's bosom. And these are separated. This isn't a purgatory that one crosses over in the other. This was until the fulfillment of all things of Christ. In Luke 16, 26, it says, and besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf that is fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot. Nor can those from there pass to us. There's a separation. That what we do with Christ on this side of eternity determines on where we go ours. There's not a second chance. But praise God, when he died, he went and descended. And the Bible says he led captivity captive. Those Old Testament saints who were waiting for the cross, who were waiting for the Messiah. When Christ finished and accomplished it all on the cross, the Bible says he descended into them and in there delivered them and led captivity captive. He led them to heaven where he ascended on high. So So if you picture this, Christ died on the cross, was buried, descended in there, proved his righteousness to those who were condemned, and then led those who loved him, who waited for him, led them and freed them to be with him forever. So he descended and then ascended. So much so that we go from Luke to this place with a great divide to Paul, who was caught up in the heaven. And this is what he says: I know a man in Christ for 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows. For such a one was caught, notice what it says here, where is he caught? Up into the third heaven, which is the throne room of God. That today, when we die, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So we see that Christ fulfilled all. He preached to those in hell his judgment upon them. But those Old Testament saints he delivered. And he rose to be ever with the Lord. Our God is so good. The ramifications of this, that we see within Christ that he is a promise keeper. Oh, yeah. I want to pull this up. This is just real quick. This is one of these little nerdy things. That's interesting. We talk about this, that Christ died, right, was buried, there descended, and then he took this Old Testament saints and then, what, ascended with them. Christ was in the grave for how long? 3 days. This has all happened within those 3 days. Then Christ resurrected, and then he ascended. Take a look here. I just want to point this out, those of you who like those little kind of nerdy bits. This is in Matthew. Matthew 27. This is when Christ died on the cross. Talk about some of the things that happened around that. Take a look at verse 51. It says, and behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. Right? So when Christ died on the cross, the temple, right, the veil was torn. The part that separated the people from God was torn. Praise God. Right? Right now in the Old Testament, we're reading through, if you've been reading the Bible through a year, about all the sacrifices and all the rituals and all the washings, all that is gone. The Bible says that we can come boldly before his throne of grace, right? The temple veil has been torn in two. And notice from the top to the bottom, it wasn't a man who did it, it was God. It says the earth quaked and the rocks were split. This is where things get interesting. And the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, coming out of the grave after his resurrection. And this is one of those really quick things that you could just kind of skim over and read over. But this is an amazing thing, right? So when Christ died on the cross, there was an earthquake. Darkness came upon the earth. The veil was torn from the top to the bottom. Also, in this earthquake, the graves were opened up. Now what happened when Jesus resurrected 3 days later? Those believers who had died, what does it say happened to them? They came out of the graves. And the way I kind of picture this in my mind, remember, behind the scenes, spiritually what we have taking place is Christ died on the cross. He was buried. Remember, he descended. And then he took the Old Testament saints and rose with them. And like it almost seems to be that those who freshly died, as they were being resurrected, right, as they were being brought up with Christ, ascended with Christ, that those who had recently died in Christ, while their bodies were still fresh enough, seemed like their spirits slipped back into their body to show what was taking place. Behind the scenes, the Old Testament saints who were being raised to be with him. And so this is a quick little thing. And the graves were open, and the saints who had newly died, right? Like their spirits kind of said, oh, we're going up this way, but they kind of slipped back into their bodies and came up and then walked into Jerusalem.
That's as clear as mud. Let me know.
Now, I'd love to talk about this stuff. I won't bore you all this morning, but this is a cool little thing to read as you just go through this. This is all proof of him doing what he said he was going to do. Of the hope and the victory that we have, right? Christ is a promise keeper. Scripture says, for I delivered you, first of all, which also I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That he was buried according to the Scripture. But also what? That he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The Bible is reliable because it is true. We see this played out. Right, Jesus talked about his resurrection. Several times, as Jesus was with his disciples, he told them what was going to happen. Matthew is just an example here. It says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and priests and scribes, and be killed, and what? And be raised the third day. Let me tell you something. He can keep that promise. He can keep any promise. If death cannot keep him from keeping his word, nothing can. We see this played out. Not only is he a promise keeper, but how powerful is Jesus? Peter tells us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We can look at the resurrection and say, Christ, if you can conquer death, there's nothing that's too hard for him. No problem you have is beyond his reach. Nothing is too hard. That means everything that Christ has promised us will come true. When Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, guess what? He will never leave you nor forsake you. What can separate us from the love of Christ? So height and depth? There's nothing that can keep him from his promises because death could not hold him. What a mighty God we serve. The Bible says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The Spirit of that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in you. You know, when we look in this world that's going on, as Christians, we should not be discouraged. I know I'm working on this. I should not be discouraged because this is all working according to his plan. All these things will come about according to his will and his power. Because if death could not keep him, what can stand in his way? What a mighty God we serve. Then in here, it comes back to that title I was looking at, that he is the victor. That Christ won the victory. Timothy tells us, this is, but now have been revealed by the appearing of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This is a little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Why? Because I live, you will live also. Christian, we do not need to fear death. We don't need to fear this world. We see this boldness within the early church. Many were martyred and killed for their faith, but they knew that death wasn't the end. Actually, Apostle Paul says, I'm kind of between a rock and a hard place. If I'm here, I can serve Christ. But if I die, I can go to heaven and be with him. I'm officially getting old. When we were in Bible school, our teacher was teaching, and I can't remember what class it was. And out of the blue, the teacher just kind of stopped and looked at us. And all of us were, you know, were fairly young. We had students in their 20s, and you know, we had a few that were in their 30s, and our teacher was probably in his 70s. And he stood and looked at us. It became kind of awkward. We're kind of like, okay, what's going on? You know, and all of a sudden he goes, you young guys just don't get this. He goes, when you get my age, you get to a point where you know more people in heaven than you do on earth. He goes, I know someday I'm going to be with them again. You young guys just don't get it. You don't have the aches and the pains and the struggles. He goes, I know when I take my last breath, I'll be at peace and I'll be whole. All through the victory of Jesus Christ. The sufferings of this world are temporary, and we serve a God who is alive. We pray to a God who hears us. Why? Because he is alive. I have a hope in a Savior who is alive. Revelation, Jesus declares about himself. Says, I am he who lives and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of Hades and death. O death, where is your sting? Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on the incorruption, this mortal has put on the immortality, then we shall be brought to pass the saying that was written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This body is just temporary. It is weak in so many different ways. It is fragile. And someday I'm going to shed this. And God will clothe me with a perfect body. No more pain, no more sorrow. I was just telling Venetia next door, I said, yeah, I'm getting tired of doing funerals. Praise God, there's no funerals in heaven. There's no hospitals in heaven. There's no chemo, grief counselors. Oh, what a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. You know, when I die, they can have this old hunk of junk. If I have anything left over someone wants, they can have it. I'm not going to need it anymore. If I pass away before my wife, I don't care what she does at the funeral. Because I won't be there. I'm going to be with Jesus. Doesn't that sound sweet? Doesn't that sound precious? Christian, look up. Don't be discouraged. Man, I just feel like musical this morning. I don't know. Because there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith I can see it afar. When my Father waits over the way, prepares a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. I'll fly away, O glory. Is it any wonder that when the church has been persecuted, we've been struggled, we've been out of place, some of the most beautiful hymns have been written about heaven? Christian, this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. I don't know who just shouted that out. Amen, Christian? Remind yourself, victory in Jesus. Because he lives, it changes everything. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the victory over death and pain, over sin and shame. Lord, we have victory in Jesus. Lord, we have an opportunity to serve you because you are alive. And life is worth the living here. The way it ends with you. Encourage us, strengthen us, Lord, in that victory, in this dark world, this world that seems wandering and lost, Lord. Help us to walk towards you and walk with you, the victor over all things. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.